You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Voices of the Vic podcast with me, Mike Duffy. And tonight I'm joined by Joe Thomas. It's our first one in a while, so apologies we've not been around recently, but we're back. And we're back to discuss another game where Tom Cleverley hasn't lost. Before we discuss that tonight, like I say, I'm with Joe. Joe, how you doing, mate? Long time no speak. You all good?
Yes, mate. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Glad to be on. As you say, it's been a while since we've been on. So, yeah, and it's great to come on and be discussing after a great game, a team that's obviously high flying at the moment. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, look, we were going into this game, Ipswich, really, everything was, you know, in their favour. Leicester lost against Millwall last night. Leeds drew with Sunderland. So, you know, if anything, we all thought they were going to have that extra bit of fire in their belly and, you know, go all guns blazing against a middle-of-the-road Watford side who were more than likely probably on the beach and probably already got their flip-flops on. But it was quite the opposite. I mean, we'll start at the beginning, as we always do, Joe. We saw two changes to the team. So Sierra came out and Pollock come in to replace him. And then we saw Chuck Vedadze come in. I can't think who did Chuck come in for him? Dennis, that was it. Yes, of course, Dennis. So we saw Chuck come in. In terms of those changes, obviously we would have liked Dennis to have played because Dennis has, he might not have done a lot in the whole grand scheme of things in games, but he scored some important goals. He obviously won us the game against Birmingham. He had a magnificent goal against Leeds, which got us a point. And, you know, I thought he played quite well against West Brom as well, for what it's worth. So with those changes in mind, what were you thinking? Because already the odds were sort of stacked against us, I think. So to make those changes, to see Dennis out the squad, was you a little bit disappointed?
I wouldn't say disappointed, no, because obviously, you know, from our chat, I've been, I've really wanted Pollock to stay in the side. So to see him come back tonight, I was very pleased. And obviously, we've been hearing a lot, and they did mention it on the Sky coverage that, you know, Watford fans would be disappointed not to see as much of Dennis as what we have, because he's been carrying a bit of a groin injury for quite some time. So obviously that probably had a big say in him coming out the side. And if you taking a player like that out of the side, having someone like Chad Vakatsi coming in, that's who you're going to want to replace him. And obviously for me, as we again said in our WhatsApp group, you know, he was one of the best players tonight, wasn't he, Chad Vakatsi? So
yeah, absolutely. I think it's probably, yes, we want a player like Dennis to be in the squad every game we've got, because regardless of if he does much or not during the game, he still creates those important moments. A couple of games mentioned there a minute ago about where he's won us points. But do you perhaps think that tonight maybe it was good to give him the rest? Because everyone's been saying he doesn't look fit enough, and he also he hasn't played. I don't think you might be able to correct me here, Joe, but I don't think he's played a full 90 since his return, if I'm not mistaken.
No.
So do you think tonight having the rest that he's had will actually help us? And we actually got quite lucky that we sort of didn't rely on him, because as you say, Chak come in, and for me in that first half, Chak was the standout player along with Bio and Hoot. They were the three that stood out for me. So do you think, Dennis, it was a wise decision to rest him, because now we can go to Southampton on Saturday. It was a three game week for Watford. Got to try and utilise players as best as we can, even though we're not fighting to stay up and we're not fighting to go up. But do you think that will ultimately be a correct decision in resting Dennis tonight to give him, with the option to give him more minutes against Southampton on Saturday?
Yeah, potentially. I think a game like tonight, when you kind of think, like you say, we've got a small squad anyway, you're going to want to go into a game like, I mean, these games we said between now and the end of the season, there's a lot of hard games. And to be honest, the way we were playing going into it before Cleverley took over, we kind of said they're free hits, really, aren't they? That's how I was to see them. So if we were to have played Dennis tonight, I don't know whether he wouldn't have not got any minutes on Saturday, but obviously it's good to rotate. I think Cleves took a bit of a risk tonight in dropping him, or not dropping him, but resting him and giving him that rest. Because like you say, he has played quite a bit. I wouldn't say he's not played enough. I think he's been getting, what, at least 60 minutes a game?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah. And obviously we knew under Val, didn't we, that he loved making subs after 60 minutes. Whether it be Cleves, whether it be Val, you know, he's made a contribution to the team as a whole, isn't he? So, yeah, if he doesn't start the weekend, you know, I probably wouldn't grumble, because if he started with that starting 11 tonight that he played tonight from the off, I think they all did well, and I thought they all would have earned their place in the starting 11 at the weekend, to be honest with you. So,
Yeah, and Katie, who's obviously part of this podcast, is in the comments tonight, and she says that Chak filled Dennis's void, which is great, because Katie was worried that we would look invisible without him. And I think that's something that we sort of said, and you mentioned, Joe, in the WhatsApp group, that Chak come in and done a brilliant job in that first half, at least, because let's not forget he's come back from an illness now. When Clef said he was out with an illness, I think it was the West Brom game. It was or the Leeds game. It was the first game back from international duty. The same international duty which just happened to see Georgie Jack Vertadze help Georgia qualify for their first ever European Championship. So whether that illness was drink related, we'll remain to wait for the answer to that. But one man I want to ask, want to talk about, Joe, is the other man for the other change that happened, and it was Matty Pollock. Now, Warwick's popped a comment in already and said Pollock and Hoot were outstanding. Now, obviously, you know, Pollock's not got as much game time as he perhaps would have liked, to be honest. And when he's come in, generally speaking, I'd love to see his game to clean sheet ratio, because he come in against that in the game against Sheffield Wednesday, which it was an odd game for him to come in. We got a clean sheet, and I'm sure he must have kept clean sheets in other games as well. So in terms of the games he's played to when we've got clean sheets, that must be, it must be a good ratio, to be fair. But for me, I thought Pollock slotted in perfectly tonight, and I thought he, because Sierra has been doing superbly, and I really like Sierra. So when I saw Pollock starting, I was like, you know, you've got the aerial threat of Kiefer Moore, you know, they've got some big defenders as well, Ipswich have. So that was my worry there. But Pollock slotted straight in as if he'd never left the team, and he was superb tonight for me. Do you agree?
Yeah, 100%. I'm a big fan of his. I think he's, this season, he's a different player. You know, if we were playing this game a couple of games after that Millwall game that he came in last season, was it? It was last season, wasn't it? That horrific midweek game at Millwall. Then, you know, you'd probably have cause for concern. But he's grown so much as a player from last season and the troubles that he had. So, yeah, you know, like you say, Serie A's been fantastic, and, you know, he always will be a rock in a Watford shirt. I can't think of too many times where he's been horrific, to be honest with you. So, yeah, if the way Pollock's playing at the moment, I think obviously Porto and Hoot are playing so well at the moment at the back. I think between Pollock and Serrato, I think it's one place that you just couldn't call at the moment. I think week in, week out, could you? Like, you just don't, you wouldn't know who he's going to pick at the weekend at the moment. Obviously, Pollock's played well tonight, but he might decide to bring Serrato back in. But yeah, overall, I thought Pollock was solid tonight, and, you know, he kept. I was surprised, you know, he was marking more most of the evening, wasn't he, while he was on the pitch, and did a phenomenal job. One of the best strikers in the league.
Yeah. Well, I think part of that reason as well why Moore was kept so quiet as well was because I had a tenner on him to score two or more goals at 10-1. So the betting gods did their best to make sure that didn't come in. But, you know, all joking aside, I think Batman made some really good saves. He made one point-blank range. And yes, the haters of Batman will say, but it was straight at him. But the power, he ran onto the end of that, and he couldn't have hit it any cleaner. Got real good contact on his head, and Batman pulled out a really smart save to deny him. And then other than that, I think we kept him at bay tonight. And I think defensively, we were absolutely superb. And it's credit to Klebs, because he's come in and he's implemented this 3-5-2 system. Some were unsure of it and some were all for it. We were just happy for a different approach, a fresh approach in the team that we've got. And yeah, if you hear any noises in the background, unfortunately, my cats are about to fight. They the joys of live podcasting. They always do this, but I was very, very surprised at how we started the game, because, as we'd expect, Joe, was it you that you pulled out that stat to say Ipswich hadn't lost at home? When was it, Joe?
Yeah, August, end of August, when they lost 4-3 at home to Leeds was the last time they've been beaten at home. So. Yeah,
and that's another stat, QPR were the last team to keep a clean sheet at Portman Road. And I'm sure John Mark said that was a few, I think he might have even said QPR were the only team to keep a clean sheet at Portman Road, only opposition team. So I think we joined that club now of being only the second team to do it this season. But was you surprised at the start we made? Because, I mean, personally for me, I thought, right, it's going to be back to the wall, you dig in, it's not going to be pretty, but I would absolutely take a point, and I would have snatched your hand off at a point if you offered it me before the game. And I'm sat here absolutely delighted. I know some might say, you know, chill out a bit, Mike. It was 0-0. But for me, I thought the overall performance was superb, because that first half, I thought up until maybe the last five or so minutes of the first half, I thought we dominated the game. Ipswich had a few snapshots and, you know, tested Batman. We didn't exactly test their goalkeeper. But that has been the theme of the season, hasn't it, Joe? Final third has been lacking. And I just think with a little bit more nous in that final third, who knows what could have happened today? Because, like I say, I thought we started the game really, really well. But did it surprise you how we started? Because, like I say, I was very surprised that we started on the front foot. I was very much expecting, OK, Ipswich, we're going to sit in, you try and break us down, and we'll try and hit you on the counter. Whereas it was like, well, no, sod that, just because you're gunning for automatic promotion, we're going to come to you boys and we're going to make it difficult for you. So, I mean, that surprised me.
Yeah, I said in the in our group, didn't I, kind of thinking back to 2015 when we were in the promotion race and going up this game week, I'm pretty sure I was right. And so it was Forest away that we had in this round of fixtures.
It was, yeah.
Towards the end of the season. And, you know, Forest, whenever you play them, they're a tough team. And I remember, you know, we were going there. It's a nervy time for anybody in a promotion race when you're at this stage of the season. And I think, you know, Troy said on Gillette Soccer Special tonight that, you know, right from the off in the first few minutes that he could sense that there were nerves around the stadium. He goes, he was expecting, he said, the fans you can hear coming through the mic are the Watford fans. He said, they're bang up for this. And he said, you know, you'd expect Ipswich after Leeds dropping points last night, Leicester dropping points last night, you'd have thought they'd have come out. But obviously they're panicking a little bit. You know, it's tough, you know, when you've got a club like us that aren't playing for anything, like Sunderland last night. They just shut up shop at Leeds.
Yeah.
Nothing to play for. They're just coming to frustrate, and, you know, they're still there. We're still there to compete. We're still there to try and do our best. And obviously, like I say, yeah, I think we were full value for that draw tonight. Good value for the draw tonight. Fully deserved. Totally unexpected. And as you said, from the start of the game, I expected it to be Ipswich. But for the first 15 minutes, definitely, I thought you could clearly see that there was a plan there tonight. You could clearly see that there was a structure. You could see what Cleves was trying to implement from the off. And I think, you know, the most important thing for me at the moment with what we're seeing with the players is that there's a hell of a lot of effort that's been put in around the pitch at the moment, in all positions. Like, everyone's trying. You can see everybody is really wanting to play for Cleves at the moment. And I think whether he wants it or not is another thing. But the way things are going at the moment, I do think they'll give him the job, to be honest. If the players really want him, I think the fact that they've played, a lot of them have played with Cleverly as well, is really helping. You can see there's a massive respect there. And again, it's something Troy's done a few interviews recently talking about Watford, and he says, like, a lot of the players respected Cleverly when he was captain and when he was in and around the first team before he got injured and obviously had to retire. So that respect is still there from when he was on the pitch. So, yeah, I'm not shocked, if I'm being completely honest, about the way we're playing. It's just I'm more shocked that we're getting the results with it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing, is you just don't expect that, do you? You expect the effort, but not the results, and we're getting both at the moment.
Absolutely, and I think everyone looked at this run, which is why that initial worry of the relegation was happening. And, you know, there was that worry of, right, we need to pick up points against Birmingham. I can't remember who we had. We had a couple of others in and around before, which we didn't pick up points against. And they were like, right, Birmingham is the must win, because you look at our run after that, Leeds, West Brom, Ipswich, we got Southampton on Saturday, and we were like, we sure as hell ain't getting any points out of them. And we beat Birmingham, we drew against Leeds, and very convincing first half, and very convincing performance. Ultimately should have really beat West Brom, 2-0 up against them, drew against Preston. I think they just came and to set up shop, to be honest, and take the point. Really, really surprised at that still. I know we didn't do a post-match Preston one, but just on that game, very surprised at how they come and set up, because they've got a game in hand over the playoffs. I think they've got a game in hand over Norwich, who occupy the last spot in the playoffs. So if they'd have won that, they'd have only been two games behind, 2 points behind with a game in hand. So, or if they'd have won the game in hand, they'd be 2 points behind. So they really had a chance to go for it and still be in chance with the playoffs. But hey ho, that's in the past now. But to come away with these games, where, and we can still say 5 games in, is it now, Klebsies? And he's not lost yet, and we've been so much more refreshing. Yeah, you can probably take away that that Preston game as being a bit of a snore fest, and the Birmingham game wasn't great. But at the end of the day, I think that Birmingham game, we just needed to win. It was a little bit like the Rotherham game. I think Val come out afterwards and says it wasn't about the performance, it was about the result. Now, I think he was maybe saying that to try and save his job a little bit, but that really was the case for Birmingham. It was like, right, don't care how we do it, let's get the result. And I think you're absolutely spot on with the whole Klebs stuff. I think the fact that he was captain as recent as last year, yes, he didn't play, but he was still captain and he would have still been around the ground, the training ground and everything. I think that has helped massively. I really, really want Klebs to stay on, but I am so, so worried that he hits a stumble next season and he, let's say, he loses 4 or 5 in a row, or we go a month or two where we draw and lose and we don't win or whatever. The Pozzos, they'll get rid of him and they'll just hook a legend like that. And I'll just be so disappointed and we'll be back at square one. So I just don't want him to be treated that badly, because he's a legend. And, you know, ever since his first loan spell at the club when he was a young lad, he gets the respect from Watford fans for a reason. So I'm not surprised the players are playing for him at the moment, and long may it continue. And I think now, I said this on the last podcast, if it was me, I would start bleeding some of the youngsters through. I think we might as well. We're on, what, 52 or 53 points now? Yeah, so, yeah, you know, yeah. I touch wood, we're not going down. We definitely ain't going up. So why not? Let's bleed some of the youngsters through. Tom said in one of the press match conferences, pre-match conferences, that he's not just putting these youth players on the bench as a token gesture. He's doing it because he believes they can help us. Okay, then. Let's put your money where your mouth is. If you think that these players can help us, bring them in. Play them a bit. I want to see Greaves here. I want to see why Albert Eames is talked up so much on Twitter. The chap that was on the bench against West Brom, I always forget his name.
Messiah.
Bring him in as well.
Double barrel by Messiah.
Yeah, that's him. Bring him in as well. Him. So, yeah. But gone off a bit on a tangent there. But obviously, you know, other than that last 5 minutes at first half, I thought Ipswich sort of grew back into the game, and we all text at half time in the group, and we were like, right, you know, good, you know, solid first half, but still another 45 to go. Expecting not if they will score, when they will score, when they will score. And I must say, Joe, we come out of the blocks the second half, we pretty much picked up where we left off. So, you know, we were absolutely tremendous in that second half. And I think the fact that we were so much on the front foot, I don't think Ipswich were expecting that at all, were they? And I think that's why they struggled to break us down, because I think Dan Gosling made a point in commentary. He said Ipswich weren't expecting Watford to turn up like they did. And you could tell that the way they were playing. But all credit has to go to us defensively tonight.
Yeah, I you know, like you said about the start of the second half, I thought we were much better in the second half than the first half. I thought we just grew and grew into the game. I thought as time went on, we were looking better. Passing was a bit sharper. There were still a few stray passes still, which was very frustrating. It always happens, doesn't it, in midfield. The ball's been knocked about and then someone will just put a dodgy pass out for a throw or misplace a pass back to the opposition. But I thought we were looking a lot sharper. We looked a lot more energetic as the game grew on, which surprised me because I thought we'd go the other way and we'd tire. I thought there were a couple of moments in the second half where, as I said to you before we came on, I wasn't really very impressed with Andrews and Yasser tonight as a pair. I didn't think either of them looked particularly good overall. The joy we were getting was, surprisingly, which hasn't happened for quite a while, was working the ball through the middle of the pitch, which is not what we've done for a long time. It's usually the ball goes out wide. It'll either be Andrews and Yasser or Lewis and whoever it is that's on the left up there with him. And we go bursting down the wings. But tonight, Delibashiru, Kayembe, the pair of them in midfield in particular, as we pick them out, they were the two best in the midfield for me tonight. And the way they got forward with the ball was fantastic all night. I mean, Tom Delibashiru each game at the moment is just looking better and better and better for me. Like, he's a person that I'd have on first person on the team sheet at the moment. Like, he just looks hungry for it every time he gets the ball, doesn't he? He wants to go forward, looking for a positive pass. Very impressed with him at the moment, which is surprising because I didn't think he'd be one I'd be saying towards the end of the season that would be number one on my team sheet, to be fair. But,
well, ain't it crazy what happens when you play a player where he's meant to play?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it is refreshing seeing him in that middle. And I think Tom come out and said after one of the games that he's grown and developed as a player. And we really are seeing it now. And this is the type of player I think we were expecting when we first heard the news that we'd signed this youngster that was released from Man City, or we either bought him from Man City. I think he was released. But, he's blossoming into some player, and he's had two really bad injuries in his time at the club. So to see him now go on a run of games and hopefully be over that hill, it's brilliant. And we're really seeing why Man City picked him up in the first place, because he is some player. And I think if he continues, and some might not agree with this, I think we might struggle to keep hold of him if he continues the way that he is, because he really is getting so much better game by game. And he's just so calm as well. His calmness reminds me of Cassetti in a way, because he'll have the ball a couple of times tonight. He would be the one that, when Batman had the ball, he would drop centre to pick it up from him, so those triangles could be there at the back. And he'd get the ball and he'd play like a cross-field pass, like along to Porto over on the left, or he'd play it out and spray it to Lewis. And you'd be like, shit, don't pass the ball there. But he'd be so calm, and it didn't look like it had enough, but he got there. And I suppose, you know, that's the calmness and confidence that he's got. And he, you know, a couple of times tonight, like you said, he went on a few mazy runs and he was able to, you know, beat his, you know, shake off a couple of men that were sort of trying to cling on to him. And he really did have a good game tonight. And yeah, I mean, you mentioned about Andrews. I completely agree, by the way. Not his best game tonight at all. I think Yasser is very frustrating. And Gosling made a point on CoComs tonight that Yasser doesn't have to be in a game. A bit like Dennis, he doesn't have to be in a game, because he can just click of a fingers, boom, he'll hit the ball from 30 yards out and he'll test the keeper, or it will land in the top bins. Look at, you know, prime example, Norwich away. He pulled that out of the bag, wasn't expecting it whatsoever. And I think he had a good chance tonight, which their keeper got down low to save. So, you know, he is frustrating, because for me, personally, he doesn't shoot, considering how many goals he scored from outside the box. And, you know, we know he's got a good shot on him, and he's finally sort of scoring a little bit now, because that first season, it took him a while to get his first goal. So you'd hope that confidence is with him. He always tries to make one pass too much for me. Like, he was on a couple of times tonight, he was on the edge of the box or he was in the D box. And you think, right, just hit it. But he'd try and worm a pass through and, you know, it'd be like trying to thread the eye of a needle. And it's just like, you don't have to do that. Just hit it. We've seen that you can score from all sorts of ranges. Test the keeper, at least.
Yeah.
Make him work. Sting his palms. If he parries it out and, you know, Bio follows it in, who knows what happens. So that's my only criticism. And I think that's what let us down tonight as well. Just, obviously, tonight I am elated with the performance. I think it was really, really good. But my only gripe would be how much we're lacking in that final third, because we only really restricted their goalkeeper to parrying shots. I don't think he really had to work up too much of a sweat. Is that something you'd agree on, Joe?
Yeah, it was only shots from distance, really, wasn't it? Mm. I mean, they were comfortable saves, weren't they? There was nothing really there that was going to trouble him. Unfortunately, I think for the Yasser one, as me and Katie were both shocked, it was Jamal Lewis that was the person that was following up on that one. You know, if Dennis was on, maybe Dennis would have been there. But yeah, I do agree with you. There's definitely, we definitely need to strengthen in that position next year. We definitely need to look better in that final third next year. Like I'd say we have scored quite, you know, when we post the goal scorer chart, every game there's a goal and whatever, and you kind of look and you think, crikey, there's been quite a few goals and it's been spread across the team this year. I mean, which is great. You know, we've not had like three players that have just run away with it with a couple of others just getting on the sheet. It has been shared amongst the team. But yeah, I would just like to see a bit more consistency and energy up front next year. I think we need, you know, whether it be a loan, someone coming in on loan next season for a season-long loan, or whether it's a permanent transfer, we need someone that's got pace next year up front.
Yeah. Well, I think we mentioned last podcast as well. I think Katie put the question out on her personal Twitter about if, you know, Watford fans would sign Dennis, or whether we got him on a permanent again, or whether Forrest give him to us for another year on loan. And I think who knows what could happen if you have Emmanuel Dennis that is with us pre-season and hopefully fully fit and firing. Who knows? So, but I completely agree. Final third's been so disappointing this season. But with that said, I think our goal difference, I think we're the only team in the bottom half with a positive goal difference, because although we don't score a lot, we don't concede a lot either. Or if we do concede, it's very close games. I think they said tonight that Ipswich were one goal off scoring at home. If they scored one more goal at home tonight, it would be more than Watford have scored all season. And that's just at home, because Ipswich have scored 80-odd goals, and it's crazy.
84, yeah.
So it is absolutely mad. But I think on the whole, we'll probably look to wrap things up very shortly. But I think on the whole, I know it's 0-0, and we might have a few Ipswich fans in the comments after this has been released, because believe you me, they were in the comments when we played them in the previous game, because I made the mistake of being slightly positive and saying that I thought we more than matched them, and a few of them didn't quite like that and said, well, if you matched us, then you'd be, or if you're as good as us, you'd be where we are in the table. And I'm like, okay then, mate. So it'll be interesting to see what they say tonight, but they are second and we're, what, 14th, 15th, so good luck to them. But yeah, I mean, I must say, as I've mentioned various times tonight, I think that was a very, very positive performance. And it just goes to show that we're not going to let the season fizzle out, because we could very easily just be like, right, you know, we're not going down, sod it. You know, it doesn't matter if we could have looked at these games as free hits, essentially, or, well, not free hits, because we did need the points you know, previous games, but we could have very easily let Ipswich run amok tonight, but we didn't. We went there, we showed them, and as James West has just said, we nullified them and could have snuck it. Got to be looking at Clev seriously now, in my opinion. That's what James said, and James, that's what we've just been saying as well. And if that Kyembe shot at the end went in, my God, there would have been some serious scenes in the living room. Joe, just before we do wrap it up, I've seen, I don't know if it's Ben or Katie or Cam, someone's tweeted on our account, and it looks like they've asked for Man of the Matches tonight, because I've seen some tweet replies on my phone. Who would your Man of the Match be tonight? It's a tough one.
It is a tough one. If I was putting a poll out, I know you said Wesley. I mean, it's really tough because I kind of expect it of Wes.
You know
when he puts in a good performance, and you think there was a couple of times tonight where he got the ball, and he just looked so calm on the ball. Like there was a couple of times he was under pressure, and he just turns, and he's just like, "See you later," and it's just how he is. That's just what he does. So, you know, while Wes was fantastic, I kind of expect that of him. Mm-hmm. If I was putting a poll out tonight, I'd be putting Pollock, Georgie, and probably Dele Bashiru on there as a three, mm-hmm. and giving people a chance to vote on that. And it would be close run for me overall between Dele Bashiru and Pollock.
Yeah, I think that's more than fair. And it's actually going to be quite interesting now. When we finish, I'm going to have a look to see, although they might do it tomorrow, but I'm going to have a look to see who Watford put in that poll, because I think they usually put four, don't they? Or, well, I suppose it depends how the game's gone. But, yeah, I wouldn't disagree with any of those choices that you've just said. Gareth Quinton, he's popped up. He said Pollock all day. For me, I think Georgie, for me, I know he come off sort of early doors second half. First half, he ran the show on his own, Georgie did. Wes, as you said, expect it from Wes. He's so calm and collective, and he's a brilliant centre-back. But for me, I think it's a toss-up between Bayo and Dele Bashiru, but I think Dele Bashiru's edging it for me. I really do think he's becoming what we've been after in that midfield for a long time. Well, since Will Hughes left, I think, because Will Hughes was brilliant at getting the ball and just driving forward and making things happen. And Tom Dele Bashiru's slowly becoming, you know, that type of player. So I think Tom Dele, for me, wins that vote. So it'd be interesting to see who is voted Man of the Match. Gareth also says that Georgie was class, best I've seen him. And yeah, you know, I think that was the best we've seen this Watford side in a long, long time. So it was always good to watch. And as far as nil-nils go, that will be terrific, because my missus was in our room, because I hogged the living room to watch the game. And I'll go in a minute and she'll say, "What was the score?" I'll be like, "Nil-nil." And she'll be like, "Oh, that's boring." Nope, not today. I will absolutely take that. But yeah, no, thank you guys for tuning in. The numbers have been great. If you're re-watching this and you've enjoyed the video, hit that like button at the bottom and hit that subscribe button. And on that note, a massive thank you. You've already seen my ugly mush come up on your Instagram story, but a massive thank you for all of us at Voice of the Vic. We finally hit that 500 subscribers mark. I banged on and banged on and banged on about it on each podcast until we got there. And you might be thinking, bloody hell, he's going on about it again. But it genuinely helps the channel a lot more than you might think. Like, we see stats, and believe me, the stats show that people that watch our videos, more people that watch them aren't subscribed than people that are subscribed. So even if that meant that you logged in and clicked that button, it helps massively. So we really, really appreciate it. And as a thank you as well, if you've missed it, on our Instagram and Twitter, there is currently a competition running, and it closes straight after the Southampton game on Saturday. And it's to win a £40 gift voucher for Putshack. Now, I believe you can use it at any puck shack. And I think they're only sort of down south based anyway. But all you've got to do on Instagram is like the post and share it to your story and tag Voice of the Vic in. And then all you've got to do on Twitter is make sure you retweet the tweet and follow Voice of the Vic on Twitter. So it's a nice little giveaway there just to say thank you for your continued support. But yeah, it's been good to be back. Not a win, but certainly feeling jubilant as if it was a win. So thanks for joining me tonight, Joe.
You're very welcome. Like you say, it was a great one tonight. And I'm going to just finish by saying, for me, I reckon that was in our top three performances of the season tonight. That, I think.
Yeah.
I in my opinion, just for, you know, where we've gone, time of season it is, and the way all the players look calm and the way that we were set up tonight, it was, yeah, superb.
Absolutely. And you're off to a nice local one for you on Saturday. You're off to Southampton. I think Cam's going as well.
Buzzing for it.
Yeah. Well, after tonight, after tonight, you never know what happens. So, yeah, it'll be a good day out, I'm sure. I think the last time we played Southampton in the league at St Mary's, we won.
Yeah, we did. Cucho Hernandez.
Yes. So hopefully the same can happen again, although Cucho's not with us, so he'll not be scoring the goals, but maybe Dennis can. I think Dennis would have been in that squad, actually, so maybe he can go back and haunt them. But, yeah, thank you very much for watching, guys. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and hopefully we'll be back on Sunday to review the game. Cam should be back, and Cam's going to the game. Joe's going to the game. So I'm sure whether it's me, Joe, Cam, or whoever, we'll be back on Sunday to review that game. But till then, come on, you horns.
Sports Social Podcast Network.